Relationship breakdowns can be very difficult, and never more so than when played out publicly on the floor of Tinwalden Quays. Once valued Comin team member Chris Thomas was sacked in July by the Chief Minister, so is he out for revenge? On this week's Perspective, we revisit the July sacking and listen again to the extraordinary and revelatory session in Quays this week as the former DOI Minister asked searching questions about Kroger. To begin with, let's hear how the Chief Minister explained the sacking to the July Tinwald, as well as some of the questioning that followed.
President, I would like to start by thanking the Honourable Member for Douglas Central, Mr. Thomas, for his work as Minister of Infrastructure over the past 12 months, and I hope we can work together in the future. The Department of Infrastructure's remit is broad, at times complex, and brings with it the need for substantial public investment into infrastructure maintenance and upgrades alongside other major projects. Also alongside sits diverse operations such as buses, trams, trains, roads, highways, footpaths, local government, vehicle licensing, flood risk, ports and harbours, territorial seas, quarries, the government estate and fleet management. Strategic management and political oversight is not always easy, I would suggest, when it's also sitting alongside the stresses and strains of daily operations. Not only does it bring a lot of political pressure, I am sure that it also brings considerable stress on operational managers across the organisation. It is no secret that there is a desire for reform. Indeed, this was expressed in the previous administration, as well as this one. There was enough concern, of course, for the previous council to commission a report into the department, the Beamans report, and I quote from that report, "In summary, the current organisational and management structure is unsuited to supporting the work of a delivery-orientated department." I have to acknowledge, Mr. President, that reform pathways have been identified in respect of the airport, housing and heritage railways, but there are other areas currently within the department that may serve the public interest by being relocated or reformed. These matters will need councillor ministers and Tinwald support and will require the summer recess to properly determine. I expect to engage with political colleagues during this period. Mr. President, following my interim appointment as Minister of Infrastructure, items 4, 7 and 9 were withdrawn from the order paper of today's sitting, but I would like to take this opportunity to update the Honourable Court on the following matters. The Public Rights of Way Network. Following recommendation 3 of the Select Committee and November Tinwald Agreement, the Department of Infrastructure is leading on developing a costed strategy to maintain and update the Public Right of Way Network and review any legislative changes that may aid the maintenance of the network as well as the public rights. To this end, a working group has been formed. The working group was established in late January 2023 with its first meeting on the 7th of February 2023 and has been assigned representatives from the Department of Infrastructure chairing, the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture, the Department for Enterprise, Manx Utilities and the Attorney General's Chambers. The group could not meet, however, the July 2023 deadline to produce a fully costed strategy originally set by this select committee, and therefore an interim report has been laid before Tinwald to update on progress. I hope this will be acceptable to members. With regards to the Isle of Man ferry terminal in Liverpool, the Department of Infrastructure's construction of the new ferry terminal in Liverpool continues with significant challenges to ensure that what is delivered is what was envisaged at the start of the project. Turner and Townsend are working with the UK design team and the constructor to finish the work in time for berthing trials in the spring of next year, ahead of services beginning in the summer. The terminal building is on course to be completed in August. The passenger access system, allowing dry foot access to any vessel, will be installed by the end of this month. This will be closely followed by the link span installation before October. As you all know, the work in the river has been very challenging for the contractor. The scour protection work is progressing, however, albeit behind schedule, and silt build-up continues to challenge the contractor. Progress with the scour protection improved in recent months until 2 weeks ago, when a reoccurrence of problematic silting was encountered by the contractor in the area surrounding the existing lock gate and remaining few scour panels. This project is complex and involves unknown variables, as is always the case with civil construction in the ground. This complexity is raised by the amount of work in the River Mersey. The government is working together to deliver this scheme. We should also not lose sight of the huge impact of COVID and international inflation. The Strategic Board will continue to focus on delivering a high-quality asset for the people of the Isle of Man. Mr. President, can I finish this statement by thanking all the officers and staff across the division who work so hard to maintain and deliver critical infrastructure and services to our community. I want to reassure you that the primary objective of reform and transition is to create a better environment for you to succeed in, and I hope we can all work together as quickly as possible to deliver that clarity and direction.
Honourable Member, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Would the Chief Minister agree with me that on Sunday he was talking about abolishing the Department of Infrastructure, and that's why I needed to stand down as Minister of Infrastructure? Before he'd come to that conclusion, can I ask what advice he'd had from officers about the length of time that would take, the consequences, the risks? Can I ask whether that was the position that had been agreed with the Council of Ministers? And had he consulted with the Lieutenant Governor about that role? It seems quite a change since Sunday. Has the now the Chief Minister knows more about what's happened in the infrastructure and what's happening in the infrastructure. Has he changed his mind since Sunday?
Minister to reply.
Well, I don't think there was ever any expression of abolishing the Department for Infrastructure. I'm not entirely convinced that a personal conversation is necessarily an accurate reflection always of exact specific positions. What I've always been clear on is that a reform process is needed, and that I think I've been pretty clear in the statements now that we really do need to get on with that, renew and refresh it, and provide some real clarity about the direction of travel. And that's what I'm intending to do, and I tend to work with political colleagues to make sure that happens.
Well, on the Honourable Member, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Given that the assignment of functions for the Department of Infrastructure has now been taken back, do I understand correctly that it will be the Chief Minister who's now responsible for determining the variation request by Kroger Limited for the gas exploration? Am I also right in recalling that at the end of last week, in the second half of last week, the Chief Minister exercised the powers he has under Section 6(2) of the Government Departments Act to actually enforce the department to supply all information and render other such assistance to the Chief Minister in respect of that decision? And am I right in thinking it's likely that his first meeting in his new role would have been with Kroger Limited on Monday morning?
Yes.
Well, the Honourable Member, Mrs. Christian.
Thank you. Mr. President, could the Chief Minister confirm how many boards or subcommittees he chairs, and if any of the boards will present a conflict of interest? The Department of Infrastructure has, as he put it, a varying range of responsibilities and remains a difficult department to oversee. So could he give assurances that he will therefore be able to take on this responsibility, even in the short term? Thank you, Mr. President.
Minister to reply.
Yes, and clearly if there is a conflict of interest, then I will have to declare that and act appropriately if that involves either the Economic Strategy Board or the Council of Ministers.
The Honourable Member, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can the Chief Minister advise whether the agenda, the approach, the participation in the meeting on Monday morning with Kroger Limited was changed over the weekend? And even more importantly, can the I appreciate that the Chief Minister has acknowledged the reform pathways that are already ongoing at the airport in respect of heritage railways and in respect of housing. Can the Chief Minister also acknowledge for the record that a very successful meeting was held to think about service level agreement for highways maintenance last week, that there's a bus review ongoing, that fleet services have been moved closer to public estates so that we can begin to manage the government estate using products like Concerto? Can he also agree that there's a huge programme for flood risk management, harbours and project management also underway?
Minister to reply.
Well, there appears to be a body in the department that is dealing with territorial seas, including Orsted and Kroger. And I am not convinced that that is best dealt with by a single minister, and that the DEFA minister and the Cabinet Office minister, as well as the member for the Department for Infrastructure, where the political member, MHK, Mr. Peters, were present at that meeting to ensure there was a broad range of political views, not only to start discussing the progress of hydrocarbons, but also look at the potential for offshore wind as well, and to ensure that we've got a proper pathway for future engagement when it comes to dealing with Ørsted, who we know are keen to engage with the government.
Call on the Honourable Member, Mr. Callister.
Thank you, Mr. President. I did write to the Chief Minister to ask this question, but I think it's right that I ask it in the court. The Honourable Member from Douglas Central was also the Chair of the Housing and Community Board. Can I take that the Chief Minister is now also the Chair of the Housing and Community Board, because I know they moved that under more responsibility under the DOI. Thank you, Mr. President.
Chief Minister to reply.
I think what I need to establish, I haven't formally made a decision on that. Actually, the Minister was appointed to that board before he became the Minister. And I think what we need to establish very quickly is how much progress we have with the Housing Association, and at what stage we're likely to potentially bring that, if that council approve it, bring that back out into the public domain for greater discussion, and indeed here to Tynwald for proper view, because we do have to take some steps forward when it comes to housing. We're 2 years into this administration. There has been some progress, but there needs to be a huge amount more, and I think we need to be looking really carefully into what format we can put housing potentially to make it again a more viable organisation to the future, but more importantly to bring greater benefits to those who need support when it comes to housing and need greater access perhaps to a range of housing solutions. And I've already outlined, we had a brief flurry of activity around potential housing association, because I did discuss that when I was on my visit to Jersey, looked at the model that was being put in place there. And indeed, I hope that Council will be in a position to make a firmer determination, having evaluated the facts and figures around that very, very early in the autumn, I'm hoping in September.
Well, the Honourable Member, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just it's important to have some facts down. So I was actually had my role in the infrastructure department taken away from me on Sunday evening around 6 o'clock. So it wasn't actually on Monday. I know members were informed on Monday and the public was informed on Monday, but it happened on Sunday. I also wanted the Chief Minister to acknowledge that the licence for Kroger Limited is held by the Department of Infrastructure. And the question is, when was the last time the Council of Ministers discussed that licence formally inside the Council of Ministers? Because it's a licence that's held by the Department of Infrastructure with Kroger Limited. And two final points, if you don't mind, Mr. President. The first point is that I hereby resign as Chair of the Chief Minister's Housing and Communities Board. I think we share some differences of opinion in respect of the development of housing and even how a housing association is set up, and I prefer to be unfettered by opportunism and by naivety, political naivety in respect of the organisation of housing. I think it's better for me to be able to express myself openly about the future of housing, given the huge background I have in that and the substantial amount of work that the Housing Communities Board has done with local authorities and with other housing providers. And finally, I couldn't help but notice that the spoken statement was different from the written statement that's been circulated to members, in as much as it missed out the words good governance. And this is an issue of governance, and I have little, if any, confidence in the Chief Minister and other senior ministers at the moment.
Chief Minister to reply.
Well, thank you, and obviously I thank him for the work that he's done with the Housing and Communities Board. In terms of Kroger, all I can say is the Minister insists on dealing with this matter as the Department for Infrastructure by himself. He's not referred anything to the Council of Ministers, and of course now as the current Minister, I'm just currently assessing exactly why he had met professionally with Kroger, and also to understand what is happening in terms of meeting professionally with Ørsted, and also to try and get some proper external advisers in place so that people can properly take, ministers can be properly guided. And I'm sitting currently on that board with the DEFA Minister, the Cabinet Office Minister, and the political member for the Department for Infrastructure.
Chris Thomas asked a series of questions to ministers in Keys this week about Kroger. His first question was to the Chief Minister.
I beg leave to ask the Chief Minister what meetings and other communication politicians have had with Kroger Limited about its Seaward Innovate production licence with the Department of Infrastructure since 2022, what was discussed and concluded, and what advice has been provided to politicians in respect of meeting and communication.
Chief Minister to reply.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. So I understand that Mr. Thomas, as the DOI Minister, supported by DOI officers, met with representatives from Progger Limited on the 13th of October 2022. At this meeting, Progger provided an overview of what they had hoped to undertake as licensee for the project. I also understand that the department confirmed that the provisions of the licence would continue to apply, including timescales, and it is expected that these would all be met to the satisfaction of the department. An overview of the legislative framework was provided by the department. Officers sought to ensure the Minister's position as the ultimate decision maker in this process was understood and protected from any perception of bias as a result of this meeting, and that he understood if there were any questions in respect of the fiscal regime, these were to be directed to the Treasury, not the Treasury Minister. In my capacity as Interim Minister of Infrastructure, I attended a meeting with Progger Limited on the 17th of July, along with Minister Barber, Minister Lord Brennan and Mr. Peters, supported by officers from the Department of Infrastructure and DEFA. I also attended meetings on the 1st of August 2023 and the 22nd of August 2023 in respect of Progger and the Orsted developments. In respect of terms of written communication, I've been advised that Mr. Thomas, in his capacity as the DOI Minister, wrote twice to Progger Limited, both on the 3rd of February 2023, in respect of different aspects of their request to vary the work programme. No other correspondence has been sent from the Department of Infrastructure or from its Minister.
Supplementary, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. With proper clarity, i.e. now the Chief Minister knows more about this, can the Chief Minister reassure this House and the Manx public that the work programme Progger has proposed is in accordance with generally accepted standards, and that the company's leadership is technically competent with an exemplary oil and gas record, and it has in place a full experienced team to execute its plan, either employed or contracted? If it helps the Chief Minister, I understand generally accepted standards to be those of the North Sea Transition Authority, the British Geological Survey, and the independent industry experts DOI appointed earlier this year. In essence, will the Chief Minister confirm that the Isle of Man's Seaward Inuit production licence is similar to the other Seaward Inuit production licences on which it is deliberately based?
Chief Minister.
Well, Madam Deputy Speaker, as the Honourable Minister knows, and as everybody in this House knows, discussions with Progger continue. They wrote to the Department approximately a year ago requesting a variation of their licence. I can confirm that the Department continues to discuss this matter with Progger, and I think that until that matter is concluded, these matters should be respected, and the Department should be allowed to get on and reach a sensible conclusion with Progger in respect of their variation request.
Mrs. Christian.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. It's my understanding that Progger Limited has its licence with the Department of Infrastructure. Will it be the Chief Minister's Minister for the DOI who decides Progger requests to vary its licence? Or will Council of Ministers direct the Departmental Minister? Or does the Chief Minister plan to politicise this complex technical decision by bringing it to the other House? Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker.
Chief Minister.
The statutory responsibility for this matter remains with the Department of Infrastructure.
Mr. Thomas.
Thank you. And as well as the statutory responsibility, I believe the contract is with the Department of Infrastructure. And my first question was unanswered, but in summary, in essence, will the Chief Minister confirm that the Isle of Man's Seaward Inuit production licence is similar to the other Seaward Inuit production licences on which it is deliberately based? And in the light of his earlier answer, can the Chief Minister disabuse me of the thought that he became DOI Minister and met with Progger himself to get the unacceptable done, to overrule off advice and to vary the DOI Progger licence, disregarding generally accepted standards? Does the Chief Minister agree that everything Progger is requesting in respect to the work programme and licence condition variation is technical, not political, unless there is a mysterious political dimension to seismic studies, to drilling and to de-risking the process to exploit our island's hydrocarbons?
Quite a few questions there. Chief Minister.
Well, I can completely disabuse him of that. I think the important thing is these matters are dealt with professionally and properly, and that is currently what is being undertaken by the department, and those discussions continue, and I would hope that they can be reached. Conclusion can be reached now, within the next few weeks, and in within a sensible timescale. Given that the Progger wrote to the department now, 12 months ago, on this matter.
Final supplementary, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think the Chief Minister sort of answered this, but were the Chief Minister, Cabinet Office Minister, DEFA Minister and DO Member who accompanied the Chief Minister to his meeting with Kroger on 17th of October 2023 advised that they might be perceived as biased and compromised in the making of the Kroger licence decisions, especially after detailed discussions in a meeting, as I was advised before meeting Kroger back in October last year? Did the Chief Minister really not trust a recommendation from officers? And does the Chief Minister agree that long-established oil and gas exploration and production people are unlikely to want to get dragged into political arguments, so the licence and its work programme should be technical and professional rather than political?
Chief Minister to reply.
I absolutely agree. All these matters should be technical and professional. They should be handled professionally. And the purpose, of course, of having a meeting with other departments and represented by the ministers on the 17th of July 2023 was to ensure that we reached a sensible professional conclusion as quickly as possible, and that Kroger and their licence that has been issued and the agreement that's been issued by the Isle of Man government to Kroger is managed and dealt with professionally.
So that was the first of five questions from Chris Thomas in this week's Keys about Kroger. Next up, the Cabinet Office Minister.
And we turn to question five in the hands of the Honourable Member for Douglas Central, Mr Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I beg leave to ask the Minister for the Cabinet Office what role the Cabinet Office has in the Seaward Production Innovat licence between the Department of Infrastructure and Kroger Limited, and when it assumed this role.
Call on the Minister to reply.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. The answer is no.
Mr Thomas, supplementary.
Okay, I thought perhaps that the... So why then did the Cabinet Office Minister attend the meeting on the 17th of October 2023?
Minister to reply.
Yes, Speaker, there was obviously a wider issues to be understood to do with both Kroger and Ørsted as pertains to potentially external relations, so it's part of that wider view really over these important offshore projects. Thank you.
Madam Deputy Speaker, has the Department of Infrastructure delegated, assigned or novated its role in the Kroger licence with the Department of Infrastructure to the Cabinet Office, or is this now a corporate matter for which the Chief Executive of the Isle of Man Government or the Council of Ministers is exercising the authority?
Minister to reply.
Clearly, I'm not in a position to answer on behalf of the Department of Infrastructure, but I can say that nothing has been formally passed to the Cabinet Office in that respect. This licence, as I understand it, has a statutory basis to be given by the Department for Infrastructure, and as far as I'm aware, that is where it remains.
Supplementary, Mr Thomas.
Thank you. Madam President. Madam Speaker. What evidence did the Cabinet Office Minister have that there was anything wrong with the Ørsted relationship, the Kroger Limited relationship, and where did she get that evidence from? Because I'm reliably informed, and in fact I met both Ørsted and Kroger, and they told me this, that basically DEFA and DOI officers have been strong on technical issues arising in our territorial seas for many years, either dealing with them themselves or appointing advisers at the correct time. So does the Minister want to agree with me that she had no evidence whatsoever that there was anything wrong with the relationship with Ørsted and Kroger?
Minister to reply.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. I don't agree with the Honourable Questioner trying to put words in my mouth. You know, I was asked to attend two meetings. I think it was helpful that there was a broader range of ministers around that for such key issues that will be key issues for the island in the future. So it wasn't on the premise of having already come to a particular conclusion or evidence. Thank you.
Final supplementary, Mr Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The Cabinet Office Minister is also Chair of the Public Services Commission and has assumed the leading role in respect of whistleblowing policy and procedure. Did the Minister attend the meeting to make sure expert and competent professionals were being treated fairly in the workplace and that whistleblowers would not need to step forward with disclosures in the public interest? And can the Cabinet Office Minister confirm that the Cabinet Office Business Change Service project managers now manage this project and have done for some time?
Minister to reply.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. I'll take the last part first. Business Change Services is in effect a project management facility almost to track milestones and you manage things like that. It's in effect, it's a shared service. It absolutely does not take away from the fact that any responsibilities that sit with the Department for Infrastructure, either at an accounting officer level or a ministerial level, does not take away from any of that at all.
Hear, hear, thank you.
Okay. And I think the Chief Minister already mentioned I attended those meetings in my capacity as Minister for the Cabinet Office. I think his other questions are absolutely veering off from the question that has been tabled. And of course, whistleblowing policy is a Council of Ministers policy, and it was also brought forward by the PSC. So I'm not sure that there's need to stray into these issues there. Thank you.
Some very interesting answers there from the Cabinet Office Minister, Kate Lord-Brennan. Interestingly, shortly after the Keys sitting, Tynwald members were given a copy of the terms of reference of the newly formed Energy Policy Board. The purpose of the Energy Policy Board is to take responsibility for the overall strategic direction and policy coordination for all matters relating to the island's on- and offshore energy strategy. The board will be administered by the Cabinet Office, who will provide secretariat and research support to the board. The board was established by the Council of Ministers on the 17th of October 2023 by way of the Energy Policy and Decision-Making Direction 2023. So this was a week before Minister Lord-Brennan gave her answers to the Keys. Bearing in mind what we now know about the Energy Policy Board and the Cabinet Office's role in that, it does seem that the Minister was a little light in terms of what she could have told the Keys earlier this week. You're listening to Perspective, and this week we're exploring government's handling of the Kroger licence for gas exploration. This is what Chris Thomas had to say to me shortly after he was sacked in July this year.
The reason I got sacked, let's be clear, the reason I got sacked, and I made this very clear in Tynwald on Tuesday, was because the Chief Minister wanted to make the decision about Kroger's variation of licence in its gas, with respect to its gas field. He said that. For about a month or so.
You say he said that.
He said, yes, I will be making that decision. He said, and I said, did you use your powers under the Government Departments Act to get all the information? He'd already have all the information, but he did formally use his powers under the Government Departments Act to get information. And then the meeting that was scheduled on Monday morning at 10 o'clock, he completely rearranged to make it a political meeting, with politicians being able to, perhaps to sort of start pointing finger at civil servants, and I don't care if your advisers say that, this is happening, I don't know what's happened, but we're in a very difficult situation with Kroger Gas. He's got a position already, and I ask the public to reflect, and I ask everybody in government who's got to now help the Chief Minister in his position, you know, can he actually make a reasonable, rational decision, which is fair, given, you know, he sacked a minister to get to be able to make that decision, and he's got lots of previous in respect of this decision. That's a question that will have to be answered from the government's point of view.
So in what way has the Chief Minister got previous, in as you describe it, in relation
to
this?
He's a passionate believer in hydrocarbon, I think. No, so am I, in the sense that we've got a licence, and what matters most to me is the national interest and fulfilling the terms of the licence, which is a two-way agreement between parties, between the people who own the gas, which are the people of the Isle of Man. It's our geological resource for our future wealth, and a party that we've licensed to do something with it on our behalf as the owners of that gas. We now need to make a rational decision. We now need to decide, is what's proposed by Kroger inside the variation of the licence rational from a technical point of view? Are they the right people to be doing it from a due diligence point of view? Do they have the financial capacity to deal with every risk? And there are huge risks, I understand, from the advice, the public advice. The risks are to our national wealth, which is the gas in the reservoir down there, because if you drill wrongly, you can damage it. We need modern, up-to-date expertise proper expertise using 2020's technology and 2020's expertise to actually make sure that we're preserving our national asset. And that's just leaving aside health and safety, environmental, financial, public financial risks that also might be there. It's our national asset, that gas, and we've got to make sure we make the right decision. And I now question the Chief Minister's ability to make that decision in a non-challengeable way. And I also even wonder whether he's able to delegate responsibility for the Department of Infrastructure and that decision in an unbiased way, because, you know, he's so heavily involved himself in this decision.
I mean, you say all this. I don't think there's anything that you've told me that is not unreasonable by way of a position for an MHK to have reached. You know, in the run-up to the election, Kroger were very clear about what they felt might be an available option, and you know, the public wanted to know in many cases what their prospective MHK's stance would be. That's not an unreasonable thing for a politician to do.
This is not about whether you're alternative renewables or whether you're pro-gas, you're a petrol head or something. That's not what it's about. This is about, we have a national asset in a gas reservoir, a substantial gas reservoir that's proven to be there and is pretty much sure to be exploitable. So therefore now the question is about how we go about exploiting that reservoir. From my point of view, you need the decision makers to have the right advice and to have clean hands. You don't need the decision makers to want the advice to be come to them in a certain way. I know, having been minister, that we have got good advice, and I know that the license is a perfectly standard UK license, and we actually need to make the decision rationally and helpfully.
So are you suggesting then that the Chief Minister didn't like the advice that he was given, that in some way questioned the advice that was given?
And that's the question that people around him now will be having to give him advice about. I'm not going to go live on air and say that, but that's what we are. That's what the Attorney General should be, and the people who work for him should be focusing on. That's what the technical advisors from geophysicist experts should be focusing on. We've got to remember the gas is there in geological time. It's not there in Chief Minister time. It's not there in one session of House of Keys time. It's there. It's our national asset. We've got to make sure that we protect it and handle it properly, because I'm advised we can ruin it if you go at it cack-handed.
And of course, you talk about one Chief Minister's term, but I mean, it's at least 10 years ago that the Environment and Infrastructure Committee, on which I sat as chair for some years, had the opportunity to do proper full seismic surveys, 3D seismic surveys of the seabed, in which case we could have moved this whole programme on an awful lot more quickly. And at the time, the thinking was that this would be done by government. There was a bigger initial risk. I think it was something like £3 to £4 million cost of doing the seismic survey work. But after that work was done, you would have a far greater understanding of what was actually there. But at the time, various ministers and the chair of the MUA at the time decided, well, it was a split vote, but it was decided not to proceed at that stage.
Who was that chair, by the way?
Well, people can work that out.
That's really interesting what you say, and it's great that you remind me of all that. And that's certainly an option that should be on the table in respect of our national wealth. As you say, there are other options. We could be looking to work with private sector, either the current private sector licence holder or as a future licence holder. And as you say, there was a lot of attention to the geophysics, to the geology, to drilling approaches, to seismic surveys, 3D versus 2D, and that's all incorporated in the licence. And what we've got now is a request to vary the licence that was put together with advice from British Geological Survey, UK government, based around the regulatory advice that they were getting from people like the oil and gas people, now the North Sea Transition Authority. We've got a carefully worked out set of legally sustainable we've got a set of clauses inside a licence agreement, and we've been asked to vary them. We've got to do that with great care, because it's our national gas reservoir which can provide wealth for future generations, for our people. It's not Kroger's or any other investor's asset as such. They hold a licence to exploit
and
it.
And is this not just a case of sour grapes on your part, in as much as certainly, I think it was last week, maybe the week before, Kroger issued a quite stinging rebuke of your department and government generally for being inefficient and not moving quickly enough, not delivering what they needed in a timely manner?
I'm trying to keep clean hands in all of this, and I've always approached it, so I didn't respond to that, and I'm still not going to respond to that. But what I would say is ultimately what determines this is the license agreement. It's not a PR campaign or a political lobbying campaign or any other campaign. And all what I'm saying is that the way to approach this is to remember it's a national asset. There are risks around maintaining and then exploiting that national assets. There's a political environment to do with green versus non-green. But that's not the main point. The main point is it's hugely valuable national asset. In good faith, the government has given a licence administered by the Department of Infrastructure, and we've got to be very careful how we manage that and administer that licence. And I've done everything right for the last 12 months. I'm absolutely sure of that. And I know that there are great officers and advisers around government. And what really annoyed me and what got me most annoyed and on Tuesday in Tynwald was when the Chief Minister began questioning the reliability and the competence of our advisers in government and our staff even, and that just was like a red rag to me. I've seen no evidence of that, and what I've heard is that through 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18, officers were always up to the mark. And what we need now is we need 2020 standard expertise. We don't need, you know, remembering what it was like in the 80s and 90s, we need 2020 standards, high standards. We've got higher standards definitely than we had then, and we absolutely need to make sure that well, that when it's drilled, is drilled properly. We need to make absolutely sure that everything else in the environment is sorted. We need to make sure that all of the risks to the public finances and to pollution and all of that are managed properly. So that's a professional process that needs to be done properly. It shouldn't be bombastic politicians looking for populism. The people of the Isle of Man own that asset, important national asset. A company has got the license to exploit it, and the decision needs to be made correctly about how that license and its variation.
And as you've sort of alluded in there, the importance of sticking to good, sound and justifiable processes when making decisions, that can't be said enough. I've certainly had ministerial experience where we were trying desperately to follow exactly the rules and the guidance and reasonable processes, and a minister or a Tynwald member goes and speaks perhaps off the record to somebody, and the next thing you know, the whole deal has been blown out of
That's
the water
true.
And we're back to where we started from.
That's
so
true.
So it's so important to make sure you follow the right process.
And I'm not going to talk about fissures and vertical wells and all that sort of thing. That's for you to go and get the right technical people, and there are plenty of them on the island to come in and explain all of those risks to you. It's my job as a politician to keep hands clean so I could get advice folders full, because I was specifying the advice I wanted and it was legal, geophysical, geological drilling. It was a whole amount of advice papers that were being presented. It can't be just on a hunch. It sounds good, you know, that other side's won, we should be meeting them politically. No, there's no point. You know, the errors that were made on the promenade and the errors that were made on Liverpool Ferry Terminal, if truth be known, were because a bombastic politician went in there and pointy-fingered at officers and made them make decisions contrary to advice, in my humble opinion. And we've got to make sure that doesn't happen in respect of the national asset, which is our hydrocarbons, which I hope can be exploited for the wealth of future generations inside modern standards.
That was Chris Thomas speaking to me following his sacking earlier this year. Next, we hear his question to Claire Barber in Keys This Week.
I beg leave to ask the DEFA Minister what BP concluded and recommended in respect of seismic data of exploration and appraisal of the Permian gas discovery in Block 112/25A1 were to be pursued.
Call on the Minister for Environment, Food and Agriculture, Mrs Barber, to reply.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. BP has twice held a licence to explore for hydrocarbons in Block 112/25, once in 1972 to 1985 and again in 1995 to 2001. In 1982, when BP held their first licence, a well, 112/25A-1, was drilled based on 2D seismic data. The well was found to contain gas, however, no gas flow was observed and the well was plugged and abandoned. Prior to the 1995 licence application round, BP carried out a block-specific evaluation of 112/25 using additional 2D seismic surveys collected in 1988 and 1992 to delineate the gas discovery and identify further prospects and leads. When BP held their second licence, they proposed a work programme to reprocess seismic data, undertake reservoir deliverability studies, undertake a gas market study, fund a marine environment study, undertake a 3D seismic survey and drill an appraisal well. However, in 1997, after completing their technical study, BP decided not to collect 3D seismic data and not to drill an appraisal well. BP concluded that the decision to relinquish the licence in 2001 was based on the discovery and prospects not being economically attractive due to the discovered volume being small, risk on reservoir delivery being high, and the cost of standalone development being too high.
Supplementary, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Deputy President. I found a document on the web entitled The Permian Gas Prospectivity of Block 11225 Offshore Isle of Man, written or compiled by Mr. Cameron in August 2013. And on that page 9 is written that BP proposed in its out-of-round licence application a work programme including, quote, make a 3D seismic survey of the area and drill an appraisal well, unquote. So that's slightly different. That's not included in the answer that the Minister just read out. So even in 1995, when the most recent 2D was just 3 years old, BP considered 3D seismic survey to be necessary before drilling. Does the Minister think anything has changed?
Minister?
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. I'm slightly confused by Mr. Thomas's interpretation of my answer because I did state that when they held their second licence, their work programme included undertake a 3D seismic survey and drill an appraisal well. So I did actually say that, so I'm confused. I'm working from the same document as he is. In terms of whether anything has changed, ultimately the decision around 2D seismic and 3D seismic would be a commercial decision for a company to take. And the interests of the government from a DEFA perspective would be to ensure that our environmental risks are maintained.
Mr. Thomas, supplement.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. But also, the Minister for the Environment, Food and Agriculture also has to manage energy policy as well as the environmental risk. So is the Minister aware of any technical assessment by P in-house specialists of 2D data alone at that time? Surely a big company like BP would have carried out a detailed assessment of such a strategically complex prospect with clear examples in the data of side swipe and reflections from out of plane of the section, I believe. Perhaps BP in-house specialists concluded with a strong recommendation for 3D requisition and Mr. Hubbard misremembers. If so, if the 1995 BP work programme included new seismic for appraisal and the BP seismic specialist team strongly recommended new 3D seismic in 1996, why would the government consider a flawed technical programme in 2023 when it was not even considered fit for purpose by a world-leading oil and gas company nearly 30 years ago?
Minister?
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. I'm certainly not aware that BP published the results. Before DfE initiated the latest hydrocarbon licensing round, they had reviewed archive material that was available and prepared a summary report to which Mr. Thomas refers. This was published as promotion for the prospect. The responses that I'm giving are taken from that paper and simply state to make a 3D seismic survey. There is no specific express and statements that I can see that relate to what Mr. Thomas is saying, but I do agree that their feeling at that time was that the next step would have been 3D seismic and drill an appraisal well. What I haven't got access to is whether that would have changed by now. That company does not exist who did the initial prospecting, so if Mr. Thomas has something available to him that I don't, I'd be happy to see it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Final supplementary, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. I mean, BP, as far as I'm aware, still exists. If Kroger had submitted the current Kroger proposal in 2017, would it have been accepted? I would have thought more geophysics, geology, sedimentology, 3D geological modelling, laboratory analysis, drilling analysis, reservoir engineering, engineering of gas composition, gas properties, reservoir pressures, permeability analysis, mathematical modelling and computer simulation modelling with deterministic scenario and probabilistic volumetric calculations would have been necessary to get the licence. Why would Kroger request a variation to the work programme to allow to drill first, which seems generally considered to be rash, poorly thought through, even negligent? And why would government even consider such a variant, which would risk our nation's national natural resources?
Minister to reply.
Thank you. Just for clarity, it's BP Exploration Isle of Man Limited that had done a number of those technical studies that is now dissolved, to my understanding. If I'm wrong, I'm happy to correct that in future sessions or to circulate to members. I would just reiterate my comments again that the position that DEFA have taken related to all exploration and work within our territorial seas is one that we must absolutely be clear of any environmental risks, and we must be clear of the mitigation that surrounds it. There are a huge number of studies that would have to happen in regard to a number of different opportunities that might exist in our territorial waters, and I stand absolutely committed to make sure that we mitigate risks within all of those opportunities.
That was DEFA Minister Claire Barber. Next up, new DOI Minister Tim Crookle.
I beg leave to ask the Minister for Infrastructure what due diligence has been undertaken in respect of the financial capacity of the licensee to meet all its obligations under the Seaward Production Innovation Licence between the Department and Kroger Limited, and the competence of the relevant persons to organise and supervise any of the operations of searching or boring for petroleum inside the licence.
Infrastructure Minister Mr Crookle to reply.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. I can confirm to date the Department continues to consider the request from Kroger Limited in respect of the variation of their work programme within the Seaward Production Innovative Licence. To date, no due diligence has been taken on the financial capacity of the licensee to meet all its obligations under the terms of the licence, as this is not required at this time, pending the Department's decision on the variation of the work programme. However, if or when this information is required by the Department, it will ensure that the information is required by the Department, it will ensure that the appropriate due diligence is undertaken to demonstrate to the satisfaction of the Department that Kroger Limited has the financial capacity to meet its obligations under the licence. I can confirm that to date no assessments have been undertaken as to the competence of the relevant persons to organise and supervise any of the operations of searching or boring for petroleum as part of the licence. It is expected that this would form part of the application and subsequent assessment when the appointment for the well operator. Thank you.
Supplementary, Mr Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Deputy President. So I think then the Minister can confirm to me now that the licence cannot be varied so that Kroger can proceed with drilling until they can prove that they have sufficient financial capacity, ring-fenced sufficiently to fund the entire drilling programme and standard contingency costs. But even before that, is the Minister fully aware of the current financial position of Kroger, for instance, at its most recent year end, and is it able to meet its terms and conditions set out in the licence?
Minister to reply.
Madam Deputy Speaker, there's two parts to that. As far as the second question was concerned, as and when we need to check on that due diligence, we will do. And I'm not aware of Kroger's financial report as of the end of last year.
Supplementary, Mr Thomas.
Thank you. And I appreciate in the initial answer the Minister kindly talked about Part B, the competence of the relevant persons. Can the Minister advise what due diligence is required for company directors? And does the Minister agree that we should be holding Kroger to the very high standards, especially in the light of Kroger being the custodians under licence for such a valuable national natural resource as our own natural gas, and the project being of great public importance for the future of finances? Can the Minister tell me how many employees Kroger has, for instance, now, and how that compares to what it used to have, and what recent experience of oil and gas does Kroger actually have?
You're straying a bit from the question, Minister.
Yes, Madam Deputy Speaker, but I'm happy to try and supply that information as and when I can get it, but you can rest assured that as and when the Department need that information, we will make sure it's the right information and the right information for them to be able to carry on with this project, if that's the case.
Supplementary, Mrs Christian.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. Perhaps the Minister could just clarify to this House, when will the Department be making the decision to vary the licence, whether approved or not? And will the decision be going to the Council of Ministers for approval? Thank you, Madam Deputy.
Minister to reply.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. There are ongoing talks with Kroger at the moment, and I would absolutely say that this will go to the Council of Ministers before taking it any further.
Final supplementary, Mr Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. So, in brief, will the Isle of Man Government, through the Department of Infrastructure, and now we learn the Council Ministers, apply the standard North Sea Transition Authority approach to a standard seaward production innovate licence?
Minister to reply.
The right standards will be set, Madam Deputy Speaker.
That was DOI Minister Tim Crookall. Sadly, we've run out of time to hear the question about what tax mechanism was in place to tax a company exploiting our gas reserves. The short answer, nothing specific in place. Is this just sour grapes from Chris Thomas, or is he onto something? Were the answers given in Keys as fulsome as they might have been, bearing in mind what we now know about the newly formed Energy Policy Board? I'm Phil Gorn, Goramayos and Geistagrom. Thanks for listening.